Welcome to the Voices of Legacy broadcast. Today we have the honor of speaking with Miss Annie L. Beckley Newell. Did I get that right?
You got it correct.
All right. All right. A remarkable author and community outreach director whose life is a testament of faith and resilience and the transformative power of faith in love. And to me, faith and love is just action. Mm-hmm. Born and raised in Toledo, Ohio, Annie grew up in a nurturing home where Sunday family gatherings around the Word of God laid the foundations for her enduring faith. With 25 years of ministry experience, Annie has dedicated her life to spreading the message of the living God, of love, and of evangelism and hospitality. Mm-hmm. Her deep love for writing and storytelling, which is evident even in our conversation before we even got started, that was really good, has played a big role in where she is today. Welcome to the Voices of Legacy, Miss Annie. What should I call you today?
Just Annie.
Just Annie? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
no titles, no PhDs,
no.
Dr. Annie?
Just Annie.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me and inviting me. It is an honor to be here
today.
Well,
it's an honor to have you talking about your wonderful first novel, Someone Prayed for Me, a story of faith, hope, and love. But before we talk about that, let's find out about you. Tell us something about yourself.
Well, I guess you can sum it up as I am a person who's very conscious of God calling me, my purpose of being here on this earth, and the good will toward men, meaning anyone. I try to make sure that I speak some positive things to someone, or if it's a way that I can help them, or just conversate, you know, and listen. Listening is a big deal. Sometimes people are going through things and they just want someone to listen, not judge them, and not even to put their own two cents in on it. Just listen. Just listen, because today the world is so busy, people are busy, and there's phrases that they throw out, you know, in passing. How are you today? But they really don't want to take the time to stand there and listen. It was just something polite to say as, you know, as they were passing. So people are longing for that ear. And for someone to be sincere and really care about how they're doing.
Yeah, so don't just say it, but actually care.
Actually care.
Yeah, that makes a difference. I'm from Toledo as well, originally, but I spent more than half my life in the Carolinas and down south, and that southern hospitality.
Oh, beautiful.
It is, but I found out that it's more of a questioning of who you are and where you're from and who your people are, more so than the concern. As you said, how y'all, you know, isn't really, you know, how can I put this nicely without talking about myself because it's about you, isn't really a term of endearment necessarily. It's more of an inquiry. What you said is true. They don't care about how you really are.
Right.
But it becomes a habit or tradition.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So it sounds like you have a spirit of service. Would that be true?
Oh, yes. And I really believe in hospitality. And hospitality should follow you in whatever genre you're in.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. May I get you a water? Was a very, that was hospitality.
It is.
And these days, you know, people struggle with that hospitality.
It's what I want. Can I get what I want? But that's how you get what you want.
Well, you can get what you want in a very pleasant way as well.
Yes.
You know, and by being hospitable, you also show the love of God.
Yes.
Because he was the epitome of hospitality.
Yes.
You know, let me wash your feet. You know, and a lot, I think people are kind of caught up when it comes to hospitality. It's like service. It's like, it's today is looked at as something sub. Submission.
Yeah.
But really, no, it's a great and powerful
thing. Subservient, I think. Is
yes. It's great and it's powerful. And it actually shows your strength by you being able to humble yourself and be of service to someone.
Yes, yes. We love service. That's a big deal for me. You've been featured recently in the Toledo Blade.
Yes.
What was that honor?
Yeah, it was a very big honor for writing my first novel. And matter of fact, I've already received 2 awards for it.
Wow.
And that really touched my heart. One from Stratmore's Who's Who. And the other one is from, the Universal Alliance. And that was really nice, too.
Wow.
Yeah. So just pointing out, in my novel, I touch on a lot of serious topics. Mm-hmm. We have...
What's the name of it again?
Someone Prayed for Me.
Okay.
A Story of Faith, Hope, and Love. I touch on parents and their children, relationships, suicidal thoughts, how it affects the family and the loved ones around them when someone attempts to take their life or proceeds with it. It's devastating. It's devastating to everyone that's involved. And I tend to take the reader on this journey and show them how, if they had that thought before, or if they knew someone who was having those thoughts, this is the kind of effect that it would cause on your loved ones and the people around you. And I also take the reader on a journey where, you know, hopelessness is big. Failed marriages, failed relationships, all these things tend to chip at your personal self-worth over time.
Yeah.
And you don't see it coming, you don't see it happening, but it does. And because as human beings, we tend to look inward at ourselves. I failed. What I wasn't good enough, or, you know, I should have did this more. I should. And we tend, and those things are pecking at us, and they're tearing our self-worth down. And so I take the reader on a journey and show how that happens. And unknowingly, when you have children, for example, and you're pushing them to really achieve, you have to be so careful because words have such weight.
Yes.
And you didn't mean to put pressure on them, or you didn't mean to say certain things. But I show the reader how after these things were said, mentally, how that affected someone. So it was really a book of awareness of our words and how powerful they are.
Of the words. Granted, in our faith, which I think we share, the tongue is probably the most lethal of all of our appendages. Because what we say, I'm thankful to have known my mother and my father as good parents. And I can say that my dad, who's still alive, prepared us for the failure as well as pushed us for expectation of achieving.
Absolutely.
So that we could learn. And it sounds like what I'm hearing you say in this book that I think just about everybody needs to read, which is called again?
Someone Prayed for Me, A Story of Faith, Hope, and Love.
Yeah, I'd say this is a good read. Because we do need to be careful what we say and think about the effect of our words on the people that we speak to. Is when we don't and take it for granted, that's a dangerous thing.
Yes.
And not to get all churchy, but you do reap what you sow. The seeds that you plant, you cannot expect them not to grow.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so... in this novel, I also show the love of God and how special each and every one of us are to Him. And when a person is feeling alone and isolated, and they feel like, okay, my work life is horrible. I have no one special. Mm-hmm. And every time I reach out, I get hurt. Yes. They tend to go into their own shell. And they feel like, okay, there's nothing else for me. That gives room in your mind for these, let's end it all. What would the world care if I was here no longer? Yeah. So that, and that gives seed and space for thoughts like that. But when you know that your Heavenly Father loves you and you're special to Him. Yes. And I liken it into, I like to use this as an example. Like an artist with his canvas before him. And every time he starts a new painting, it's just as special as the one that's over in the corner that he's already finished. You know, he want to make sure the lighting is just right and the brush strokes are just right. He takes the same care and time with each one. And that's how special we are to God. Yeah. Each one of us is
fearfully
special.
And wonderfully made.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I just shine a light on how much he cares for us and he loves us and he doesn't want anyone to perish like that. We need to know that he cares. And I also have a chapter in there which shows that all heaven is rooting for us. If we only knew, all heaven is rooting us on. Yeah. You can do it. You're okay. You can do that. You're strong enough. That would mean a lot to a lot of people.
Yes, it would. It reminds me of a segment back in the old days of a funny Saturday Night Live. Hint, hint. Jack Handy. I'm good enough.
Yes.
And darn it, I yes. like me. But we have to affirm ourselves. We have to.
Yes.
And know if we're of faith, and even if we're not, that somebody really is rooting for you.
Yes.
I think it's a part of the human psyche, and I guess we're having kind of a discussion back and forth, to focus on the negative. We automatically go there. That's what gets the attention. We can see it in the news. Mm-hmm. I mean, they say no news is bad news, but a lot of bad news is very profitable.
Yes.
So we see a lot of it. We focus on the negative instead of the positive. And even in our storms, and I'll get off of my little soapbox, there's always a lesson. It's always a lesson and a blessing
that
we can derive from those storms so that we can grow and mature and do better and better appreciate life itself. I like that. So the family dynamic that you grew up with here in Toledo, that inspired you?
Yes, it did. My mom and dad both were Christians, and that's how they raised me and my siblings. And we went to church as little kids and everything. And but what really meant a lot was after church. After church, when we got home on Sundays, you know, we could expect the big dinner. You know.
Now I see you smiling. You must be going back
in
your mind.
Yeah, I can still remember banana pudding. And, oh, my goodness. But my mom was so happy. It was like Sundays were the happiest days because that was the day we all was as a family. Yeah. Nobody had to go to school and nobody had to go to work. We were there together. And she made it special. She made a big homemade, home-cooked meal with all the desserts. And my dad, and afterwards, we would all, after we cleared the table and everything, we all came back to the dining room table, and she kept this big, big giant Bible. It's like an antique now, but, and she would bring that out, and we would, like, I can remember, like, it was yesterday, we would just be, like, so excited.
The family Bible.
And she would put it out.
Was it white?
It was a big white one.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And she had this old platform that wouldn't, it's folded up, and when she unfolded, she would lay it out, and we were just like, oh, and the way, with the respect that she treated the Word of God, and they would read for hours, and then they'll discuss what they were reading, and it was just such an impact, and a respect for the Word of God, a respect for God Himself, and Jesus, and what He how he laid his life down for us. And I can remember tears streaming down our faces when she talked about the sacrifices, you know. And that's the legacy that they left to me. And that's the legacy I want to leave to my family members and people that I meet. I don't mind explaining or just sharing if they allow me.
Yeah.
I'm glad to. Yeah. I'm glad to.
Not forced.
Never forced. And
but shared.
Always love. Always willing to share.
I think that's the responsibility of the smile that I just saw. You can't see your smile, but the smile I just saw when she was talking about that good eating. But those experiences that we cherish, we really honor those that we grieve and we miss when we share that type of love moving forward, even with strangers. I know it's not about me, but I love sharing that type of story and that type of love with people that I've never met before.
Absolutely.
It's better than money. And I know you'll probably say, oh, you're crazy. No,
I'm not. It is. It's unmeasurable.
Yes, it is.
The word.
Definitely immeasurable. So from the struggles to triumphs, there were struggles that you had?
Oh, sure. Even though I came up in a Christian home, as I got into my older teenage years, 18, 19, and I got employed and got the big head. I need my own apartment. I need to live my own life, you know. I stepped away. I stepped away from the faith that I always knew, and I went into the club scene. I was there for some years, you know. And my mother never gave up. My father never gave up. But I remember how kind they were, even though they were beckoning me. They would say, hey, we're having a wonderful concert at the church this Sunday. I would like for you to be there. Or they never shook their finger. You should. You should not, you know. Yeah. But it was just that kind tugging. They never stopped. And I still respect them and love them. And so I would always go. Sometimes I hadn't gotten into the house too much earlier than, you know, getting in the shower and getting dressed. And 'cause I was committed to making them happy. But yet I was so bound on living my own life. It was rebellion.
Yeah.
And of course, everything outside of Christ got the twinkles and the lights and the whistles. Everything looks wow. I'm missing all this fun. But but that's the way it's set up, of course. And so yes, I ran into people that wasn't Christian and I got my feelings hurt and all other things, you know, so because I had stepped out of the realm.
Yes.
And you're vulnerable because your protection, you stepped out of your protection. Yeah. It's just like in the middle of winter and you go outside without your coat and you want to help change a tire with no attire on.
You're gonna get
hurt.
That's a blessing that you had your foundation though.
Oh yes. And they never stopped pulling. And I never forget towards my later 20s. It's just one day I woke up and I said, I'm not going to ever go to another bar. I'm not going to drink. And that was it.
Oh, wow.
That was it. And no one around me could believe it.
Well, what happened to her?
At first they thought it was, I was just talking. I was just, and every weekend they'll call me, oh, are you going to meet us? I said, no. Are you going to? No. Well, what, you going to come later? No. And they did this for week after week after weekend until finally they said, you're serious. And I could never explain it in words. I just woke up and that was it.
Wow.
That was it. And I never looked back to that. And that was the start of my thirst for everything deeper into the word. I wanted to know everything about God. I wanted to know everything. And that was the beginning of my quest to know the God that I serve. Not just the name, not just going to church on Sundays. I needed to know everything about him. And that's where my quest started. and the love relationship began between
awesome.
Us.
Awesome. So I'm reading that you wrote a play.
Yes, I wrote my...
How old were you?
I was 12. I didn't know it was a play at that time. I just knew I liked to write, mm-hmm. and all these characters have always been in my mind. Wow. So I just wrote down a skit, a play, and then I got a construction piece of paper, cut it up in mm-hmm. squares, and I wrote on there, "You are invited to Annie's play," and I put the time and my address on it, and I cut them up, and me and my little brother passed them out throughout the neighborhood.
Where was the play at?
It was in my backyard.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Yes.
And guess what? They showed up. And me and I never forget that morning of the play, we had a big red wagon. Mm-hmm. I went and got the wagon out the garage. I got my brother. We got up. I said, "We're going up to the park." We had a park in our neighborhood. I said, "We're going to go and we're going to find all the bottles." At that time, you could turn the bottles in and mm-hmm. get cash, yeah. you know, for the smaller bottles. I think it was a nickel or something. And the larger bottles were a dime or 15 mm-hmm. cents or something. And I said, "We're going to cash this in and we're going to buy the stuff for the party today, mm-hmm. my play." So we did that. We went to the local grocery store. Well, first, we brought them home, washed them mm-hmm. out with the hose inside the house, and we went up to the and so the manager at the grocery store was so impressed because, I mean, that wagon was, and they were washed, they were clean, yeah. and he looked at them, he looked at us, he looked at the bottles, he looked at us. He said, "Wow," he said, "normally they bring the bottles in dirty, but you guys took the time because I didn't want no rejections."
Oh, my goodness.
So we got the money, and I brought cake mix for my mom to mm-hmm. make a cake, and icing. I brought ice cream. I brought chips and pretzels. I brought everything
for the play
because I had to feed my people.
Okay.
I want to know
when you're going to do another play.
Hospitality.
Oh, my goodness.
And so when we got home, and me and my brother got these two big bags, and my mother said, where did you all this stuff come? Where did you go? And I said, "Well, Mom, we went and collected bottles." This is what I told her. I said, "I need you to make a cake for my play this evening." Mm-hmm. She put her hands on her hips and looked at me. She said, "And what time is this play?" I said, 4 p.m. And she couldn't see. And she said, "Well," we brought the bags in. And she said, "Well, let me turn the oven on." And so it was like I had everything. She had to do just nothing, just mm-hmm. make the cake. So I'm upstairs, and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to put on. And because this was a big deal to me. Mm-hmm. And I wanted a cape because I wanted it to blow in the wind while I was standing up there talking.
Wow.
So about 3:30, the backyard started getting filled, and I came out. I said, "Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Sit down, please." Oh, the grass.
At 12.
At 12 years old.
Oh, my goodness. This is priceless.
And I cried. And I felt like I was so tiny. Mm-hmm. I felt like I needed to get on top of the garage so I can look down mm-hmm. On the guests and do my skit. Yeah. So my mother come out with the bowls of chips and pretzels and mm-hmm. stuff. She had put a little tablecloth on the little table out there. And she's looking around. She says, "Where's?" And he says, "She's up there on the garage." And I'm up there, "Well, and then next I want you." And she said, "If you don't get down from the garage." I said, "They need to see me."
We need a screenplay for this. Find a little actor to play you.
Oh, my goodness. But it turned out really well. I got a standing ovation. Everybody clapped. I don't know if it was just because they enjoyed all the snacks or what, but
probably both.
But they stood and they clapped, and I never forgot that. It was so great. And my mother never forgot that too.
So could this be the beginning of the 25 years experience in ministry in this very moment?
It could be.
Yeah.
Yes.
It sounds like it.
Yes. 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 So. I was always very inquisitive. I love to read. I love to write. But I never knew I was a writer.
Hmm. But you like to read.
I love to read. Hmm. I love to read. And I have, and I've, this is what the way I look at things in life. Every person that you meet, have ever met, was a potential character in a potential book.
That's awesome.
Yes. So people tell me all the time, I wanted to write a book, but I did. I said, you're full of books. Every situation you've ever been in, every encounter, is all chapters in a book just waiting for you to write it.
Well, they always say reality is better than fiction.
Oh, yeah.
By far. And I guess that leads to the advice and encouragement. Through the struggles and faith and facing personal hardships and some of the experiences in life and that wonderful story about the play. I love that. Was that in the book? That needs to be in the next book. It needs to, in the hope and the inspiration for others. Now you have this book published. Do you have anything else?
Well, actually, I am starting on my second, and I'm just beginning, just right at the beginning here. But yeah, it will be a part two.
Gotcha. And do you have a audio version of this book?
It is an audio. Okay. Yes, it is.
Read by you?
No, it's not my voice.
Oh, okay. Well, sometimes you never know. Okay, and it's available where?
Amazon has it in audio.
So at Amazon, or do you have a website for it already?
Well, it's on Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble's. Mm-hmm. Trilogy, the publishing company.
Okay.
You can go through Trilogy as well.
So this book isn't self-published. You have a publisher.
Yeah, I have a publisher, Trilogy. Awesome. So I submitted my manuscript by mere coincidence. They popped up on my Facebook page and said they were looking for Christian manuscripts. I have been holding on to mine for 15 years.
I was going
to
ask you, how long had you had
it? 15 years I've been holding on to it. And because I never, it was personal. I never thought anybody would. And I said, well, what will it hurt if I, you know. So they asked for a couple questions. I filled that out. Mm-hmm. And then they came right back and they asked for a few more. I filled that out. Then they came right back and they said, well, can you just send us your manuscript? I'm like, well, it's like, maybe 75 to 80% done. I only work on it when they said, well, send what you have. Oh. And I did that. Then I got a phone call and they said, well, we actually love it, but it's not up to us. We got to send it to our publishing company, Trilogy. They have the final word, but we sent it over to them immediately. I said, okay. So 2 days later, she emails me a copy of the letter that her publishing company sent her. And it was like, oh my goodness, a smooth read. She introduces all the characters right away. She's a perfect fit for us. We just love. I'm like, I'm still like reading this. And I'm saying, is that right? You know, because it's all new. It's happening so fast within days. And I'm just sitting there like, and she calls me after that and she says, well, we're sending you our contract. Mm-hmm. You sign it, e-sign it, send it back. And I was like, whoa, I need to read this over myself first. Then I'm going to send this to my attorney, let him read it over. And then if it's a great deal for both of us, then I'll sign it and submit it. I was just blank after I got off the phone. I was just sitting there like, did that just happen to me? You know, and I never thought of them. And she said, we're just so pleased to have a seasoned writer like yourself. I was a seasoned. I'm looking around like, who is there somebody else in the room? Is she talking about me?
Oh, my goodness.
But, yeah.
Well, you are seasoned. The manuscript's 15 years old. I just never
looked at myself.
Your first play at 12.
As a writer. But no one had ever called me that. I have never looked to that. I worked for 25 years at Columbia Gas of Ohio. I've worked in different departments. Mm-hmm. I retired out and out of a regulation specialist. Mm-hmm. I was good at a lot of things, but I never thought of myself as that.
Wow. Well, you're that now.
And right, but I always, and I looked at all of, after this happened, is when I reflected back and really looked back. And all of my jobs, it was always a lot of writing reports, writing logs. I love jobs mm-hmm. with writing, but I never put the two together.
Yeah.
And I said, in everything I've ever done, mm-hmm. it had a lot of writing to it. And I loved that part. Mm-hmm. And I said, but I never looked at it like that. And when she called me that, and I stood up in the middle of the room, I said, I am a writer.
Congratulations.
I am an author. It's like I was meeting myself for the first time.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise, you know, all this time.
Oh, man.
Well, so I always say this. It's very important mm-hmm. if you see a characteristic in your child, in a neighbor's
encourage
child,
it.
In someone at your church or yeah. someone in your community, say it.
Yeah.
Say, you know, you remind me of a writer mm-hmm. or you remind me of a playwright or you remind me of a good pitcher mm-hmm. or whatever they're doing.
Yes.
Say it, because you'll be surprised just someone, if one person would have said that to me. You remind me of a writer. You love to write. Mm. If one person would have said that to me, I would have thought, I would start thinking on that line.
Yeah.
If one person.
Yeah.
So it's very important. And I tell parents this now when I'm speaking or if I'm at a speaking engagement. I said, they will tell you who they are. They will show you their gifts mm-hmm. at an early age. Be looking. Yeah. Purposely be looking for them, because mm-hmm. they're going to show you.
Yeah. And encourage it.
And encourage it.
And encourage it. Well, as we're wrapping up the show today, I'm so thankful that you decided to say yes and grace us with your presence. And those wonderful stories. I'm still thinking about the 12-year-old playwright and roof performer. I could so see you doing that. That's just funny to me. As we reflect on your life's work, what legacy do you hope to leave behind, and how do you want to be remembered by your family, friends, and the community for what you've done thus far?
The legacy I would like to leave is that believe in yourself. It does not matter how old you are, how young you are. You have something to give the world.
Yes.
And just trust your heart, trust yourself.
Awesome.
And I want my friends and my community to know that there's nothing too hard. There's nothing, it's never, ever over for you. A lot of people say, I'm too old for that now, I was 60 when they said yes to me.
That's amazing.
So you're never too old for your dreams, and you're never too young to start them.
That's amazing. Awesome, awesome close. Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell, the third, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners and administered by the Arts Commission.